Taking your relationship to the next level. This is Passion with Dr. Lori.
Welcome to Passion, a show about love, sex, and relationships. Tonight, alternative sexuality. That song is our theme song for our BDSM segment that we have on once a month with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. Welcome back to the big show.
Thank you.
Thank you. And admit you love this song.
I do love that song. I really do.
We're actually wondering about you sometime
this song. Oh, stop that right now. Yeah,
well, she's just knowledgeable. She's not a practitioner.
That's right. Thank you, Catherine.
And she danced on the song. Yeah, you have to see this.
Yes, well, thankfully it's radio. Okay. So if you have questions about kink, about anything else, please give us a call, 514-790-0800. You can text in a question about alternative sexuality, alternative practices, fetishes, kinks, BDSM, bondage discipline, sadomasochism, or known as submission domination. Also, you can text them in at 514-800. Also inviting you to text in your favorite moment on Passion or an episode or a lesson or a guest or a panel, whatever it is, for your chance to win a pair of tickets to come to our celebration. We are celebrating 18 years on the air on August 18th, Friday. Pierre and Catherine will be there. You can meet them there as well. And in fact, when we had our 16th party, we had quite a few people looking
it
for you.
It was so fun to meet people face to face.
I know. It really is fun. And I always enjoy meeting listeners face to face. I have to say it's always a treat for me. So it will be a very special night. Station 16 Gallery is hosting the event there on St. Lawrence Boulevard, right across from Buena Notte. Buena Notte will be providing food. We'll have drink. We'll have a beautiful cake by desserts, etc., as well. And that night is special for me, not just because we're celebrating a milestone birthday, but also because it's the first time I will be showing my other passion, which is my passion for art. And some of you know or don't know, but in my spare time, the little bit of spare time I have, I like to paint and I like to sculpt. So my oil paintings will be on display as well as my sculptures that evening and for the next few days after that at Station 16 Gallery. So and we'll also be, some of those will be for sale, and the proceeds are going towards sexual health education in high schools. So there'll be raffle prizes. We have some great prizes, some great sponsors for those prizes, and we'd love you to join us. So all you have to do is send a text, and at the end of the show, we pick one of the texters, and you will get a pair of tickets. 514-800 to text in. All right, so what are we talking about? There's a few things I want to discuss with you, actually. There's one situation that I was discussing with a colleague of mine, and he asked my opinion on this, and I said, you know, it's a good opportunity to discuss this on this panel. But he was working with a woman, and this is not just one person, because I've heard this same scenario played out multiple times, but working with a woman who had been molested, let's just say, as a teenager or sexually assaulted, and this is fast forward many years, and who feels that she, you know, she's healed from that, and it doesn't impact her life. But then he asked me, but the fact that she's a practitioner of BDSM, does that actually mean that there was an impact or that there was healing not done? You know, is this a form of some kind of self-abuse, for example? Like, he was trying to figure it out, which showed me that there's often not a great understanding of BDSM. And I thought she doesn't feel traumatized as an adult. She's a practitioner of BDSM. She's a dominant, so she's in control. So I was looking at it more as maybe the being a practitioner for her is a way that she healed herself. Like, this was a healing thing for her. So I don't know. I'm throwing it out there because you have more experience.
I think it could be. And often if you have a submissive that has been abused, I mean, you do have to be careful of triggers and people who aren't healed. But it's so different than abuse. Because when the person's being abused, they have no control. They can't stop it. It's happening to them. It's not something they've wanted or initiated usually, or, you know, something like that. So whereas even if you're a submissive in BDSM, you should have a safe word. If you don't have a safe word, there's something wrong. So that if it gets too intense or something isn't working, you can signal the dominant to stop. And that's, you know, the basis between the difference between abuse and a fun play scene, you know. And so I think sometimes you'll get people who unfortunately will slide into abuse thinking it's BDSM. And by that, they don't do negotiation. You'll get someone who, for instance, was in the news not that long ago with choking. And, you know, if he had said, hey, I'm into choking, I'd like to choke you, I don't think there would have been all the problems with the media and, and problems like that. That's what it is. So, yeah.
But I do find it interesting in this particular case that she didn't choose to be a submissive. She chose to be a dominant. She was more comfortable. I think she had started out maybe as a submissive, but then moved into the dominant role where it was empowering for her and she felt more in control. And maybe that was the healing part.
Many will start as submissive. I have a little problem because somebody who will use BDSM to heal or to as a form of healing, there's so many traps that could happen that could turn this thing completely around and make it worse.
You're talking about all the triggers that are possible, right?
Among other things. I'd like to think that this lady in particular, that basically she solved all her problem and started like a new life with becoming a dominant because it's her liking. This is something she likes and has nothing to do with her past. This is the way I like to think about this. But again,
But I think there is a link. That's the thing. You know, when people say, for example, oh no, my abuse had no impact on my sexuality, I have a hard time believing that there can be zero impact. You know, our sexuality is shaped by all the experiences we have and negative ones.
Certainly, and they're often shaped very young.
Right.
I mean, I'm not talking about pedophilia here and me clear, but there's still, you know, I mean, you look at the pantyhose fetish where they're, you know, they're clinging onto their mother's legs, things like this. And you know, there's often when you talk to people about their fetishes and what it is, and I'll often ask people, you know, how did this start? Especially if it's an odd one, because I'm always curious. And often it's something that may not have even been that sexual in their childhood, but it made an impact and it
became sexual. It was paired with sexuality.
Exactly.
Later on.
Well said.
But but in my case, and you're the doctor. I mean, I will not start to argue with you on this.
You can argue. You're the expert in BDSM, not
yeah,
me.
But BDSM not about how people think and stuff like this. But if you transport your problem and your sexuality, it really means that you, in that case, you may have a problem. This is why I don't like to think about that.
Okay, we can continue that discussion and whatever else you want to bring up about kink, alternative sexuality, BDSM, here on our alternative sex night on Passion. I torture you, take my hand, the flame. I torture you, I'm a slave.
Whether you need to learn how to talk or something more hands-on, she can help. Passion with Dr. Lori.
Tonight, alternative sexuality, our panelists, Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. And Catherine, must wish you a happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
Very happy birthday. Yesterday was your birthday. And we were talking. She gets a gift in the mail with a card, no signature, no nothing. She has a secret admirer, has no clue who it is. So if you're her secret admirer, could you let us know?
Yeah. I've gone through, you know, the obvious ones where, oh, I bet you it's so and so, and oh, I bet you it's so and so, and it's not. Right. So I
you went
no
through all
idea.
Your submissives, right?
I, but yeah, I know it's, okay. not, it's not any of my subs.
Okay,
it could be a former sub though, or something.
Well, that's right. Could be. Could be. Interesting. Know. Anyway, yeah. Enjoy the gift. What
yes,
can I say?
Let me know. I'm quite pleased. Just you know.
Well, I want gift like this too.
Yeah, well, that's nice. 514-800 if you would like to text in a question or a comment. We're talking about BDSM, kink, fetishes, all of that, all of this stuff which we consider more alternative forms of sexuality, probably less and less as the years go on because the mainstreaming of kink, of course, is... we all know, but nonetheless, still the alternative scene. They're here to answer your questions and mine. And by the way, feel free to text in your favorite passion moment, episode, lesson, guest with us tonight for your chance to win a pair of tickets to attend our big Friday, August 18th event at Station 16 Gallery. We'll be broadcasting live from there, but it's a whole night party. So from 7 till midnight or so. We're going to party hardy all night long. And your chance to meet all of our panelists and guests that we've had over the years. And
we'll be there.
You'll be there. And lots of other people will be there as well. Some other CJD personalities will be there. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. So text that in at 514-800 for your chance to win. We'll pick one winner tonight for that. So one of the things that I like to do on this show is to dispel myths and misconceptions. I think that's really the raison d'être of passion, is to talk about a subject that, just talk about it in an open, honest, frank way, not in a porn way and not in a, you know, magazine style way or what have you. No, exactly. No big headlines or anything, but really look at the real stuff. And I know that people have some ideas of what BDSM is who are maybe not in the lifestyle. So there is obviously a quite a split between what happens in real life and what we may end up seeing on the internet, for example.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, actually, some people who are not into BDSM and not interested have this idea like blood and gruesome things and, you know,
and very rough. And very rough.
And that we're beating them within an inch of their life every week.
Right.
So, right? I mean...
that it's very violent is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But here's the catch. Some people who are interested in BDSM have worse ideas about what BDSM is, which makes me crazy sometimes.
Really? Well, why? What do you mean? Give me an example.
Well, they'll see porn sites.
Yep.
They'll see porn sites where, you know, you don't see any negotiation. You grab her by the hair and you drag her across the floor, which is... you know,
that sounds
which
violent to me.
It does. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'll tell you, 90% or more of people who practice BDSM do no S&M.
They don't do any S&M.
Nope.
The vast majority.
So
it's
me
they
the
do
difference.
Bondage. Mm-hmm. They will, you know, do
yes.
DS, which is like telling the person what to do and ordering and being like the authority. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for most people, if they do something, it'll be a little spanking. That's as far as it goes for the vast majority of BDSM players. Okay. It's bondage. It's telling the person what to do. It's fun rules.
But
and
you
rituals.
Would think by looking and seeing what's out there that's not the majority, that the majority is quite the opposite, that it would be
and
more, you know, harsher or more aggressive.
Actually, when you look at the BDSM play with experienced player, you see a lot of erotism. You see a lot of care, tenderness, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. The dominant will attach his submissive, usually very tenderly, very softly, with mm-hmm. with love. And, you know, it's not like we put a rope around their hand and pull. And No, it's always something with caresses and kiss. Mm-hmm. And this is...
actually, I'm going to bring up your favorite movie. But in 50 Shades, when they did that, he did it like that. Like there
yes.
was care
yeah.
That went into it.
Well, that part was realistic.
Right. Yeah. We can pick it apart and see what was real, what was not. But yes.
I didn't yell this time, but.
Yeah. Good.
But that's the thing is they don't realize that to have a great scene, to have a great BDSM play, you need to have a good partner. You have to have
trust.
This trust. You have to have the love, actually. And this is really important. But for people who go into BDSM, they just see the violence. They just see the harshness of it.
Well, it's one thing when you have someone tied up, and like you said about the orgasms, mm-hmm. they have to be relaxed. And so if it's one thing to make them a little nervous because there's a little bit of anxiety. They're not quite sure what the dom's going to do and all of this stuff.
But part of the game.
It is. It's right. part of the game. And they know that if it gets too intense, they can stop it or roll it back. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's that trust that, okay, it may seem really dangerous, but my dom knows what they're doing and I'm not really in jeopardy. It's a little bit like, you know, we're Disney nuts. And when we go to Walt Disney World.
You are Disney nuts, yes.
Well, when we go to Walt Disney World or Universal and we go on these rides, which, you know, gosh, you're hurling through the air and it feels like you're going to die. But you know what? I know it's not a little, sorry if you're a carny somewhere, but it's not a little side carnival where mm-hmm. I'm not sure about the equipment. I know I'm safe, even if I feel like I'm, oh my God, I'm going to die in this roller coaster.
Right.
I know I'm safe so I can relax and enjoy it. And it really, that translates, I'm sorry, Disney, but mm-hmm. it does translate. You know, they have to be relaxed and they have to trust. And most people, they don't like a lot of S&M. To bring somebody to the point where they enjoy pain is usually a very long process.
Okay.
It's not for everybody, the pain. There's really specific things that some people are going to be looking for when they want pain.
And there's different types.
And for instance, but they want the play that will look like it. So again, I always talk about la mise en scène, you know, the cinema type of thing mm-hmm. that you create. You know, you play in a dungeon, which is, of course, it's a bedroom we have at home. I mean,
a bedroom with lots of paraphernalia.
Yeah, exactly. But
well, there's no bed in it.
But except for the bed.
There's
yeah.
a sling. You can sleep in the sling,
but
I guess.
But it's a dungeon, you know. You play with this type of thing. And this is really important. And when you do a spanking, you try to create, again, the big thing you're going to be spanking, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's a little spanking. A lot of people cannot take a good spanking. You need to be experienced, actually.
Right. So it really is a build up to that. Right.
And that's a problem because people coming in into this, they expect sometimes, they have expectations that are so far-fetched. I remember looking for subs. Sometimes I would say, okay, I cannot help you. I cannot, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not the right match for you. You have to find somebody else, you know.
Because they wanted so much more.
The things that were unreasonable.
Mm-hmm. Well, they want you to be mind readers as a dom, first of all. Mm-hmm. There's so many subs that they want basically to come to the door and I grab them and I just pull them in the dungeon and start doing stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, well,
That's not how it works.
Right?
So how do you deal? Okay, so you brought up a couple of things. Trust.
Yep.
Caring, tenderness, love, all the things that are related to relationships, let's say, right? Where
sure.
It takes time to build all that. But what about people who go to parties or
and they
who
just
are
play with each
yeah,
other and stuff.
Play,
it's
yeah.
a casual thing.
Exactly. How do you find
okay.
the trust in that?
The thing is they're not playing at the same level. And I'm sure they'll get very upset when you say that. But if you're playing with someone you don't know very well, you don't get that same intimacy. You don't get the same level of play. And if you're a responsible dominant, you can't go very far. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know this person yet. You don't know what their limits are. You don't know. I mean, I've been in situations where, you know, you're at a dungeon and somebody says, well, you know, can you please give my submissive a spanking and stuff? It's like, well, sure. But all I'm doing is giving them a spanking. I would not touch them in other ways. I would not, you know, do things that I would during a spanking if it was my sub or someone I knew better. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a very casual thing and it's not. It's a little shallow usually after a while if that's how they play.
And here's another thing: when I'm with my subs, it's very sometimes sexual, and I will not do something like this in front of people or in a public place.
Of course, mm-hmm.
So,
that's true.
You know, mm-hmm. we talked about.
Although I imagine there's some places that.
Well, it's acceptable. Private places, well, but a regular club that has private. A BDSM night will not do something like this. They will not allow the insertion or anything like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can't.
They cannot.
Right.
So this is why, and some people don't realize this sometimes.
And usually even at private dungeons, there are certain plays like insertion.
It's not really.
It's, or, you know, giving oral sex and stuff like that, especially if it's a woman doing a man. Usually that isn't with other people. Usually, often in a dungeon, you'll have like areas or like rooms that they may go off in a room and do something, a couple, right? And other people would stay out and respect that. So even if you're at a dungeon, it's not what people think. It's certainly not a big open free for all.
Right.
Which is a problem where the...
You'll get new people who think that just because someone is a submissive on a chain, that they're, you know, they can go up and touch them and they can do stuff. And no, you can't.
Right. There's still a lot of negotiation and consent that has to be there at all times. This is Alternative Sexuality Tonight. Any kink you want to talk about, you can talk to us here. 514-800 or 514-790-0800. And just a reminder, send us your favorite passion moment or guest or lesson or anything that you learned in the last 18 years of passion. And you might have the opportunity to join us on Friday, August 18th as we celebrate our passion's 18th year anniversary at Station 16 Gallery. We'd love to host you there. So just text in and we'll pick a name out of the gang there at the end of the program. You're listening to Passion on CJD 800. Torture you. Take my hand to the flame. I torture you. I'm a slave.
She can help improve your love life in a few different ways. Passion with Dr. Lori.
Tonight, we have our BDSM specialists in studio with us. Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com are here. We're talking about all matters related to kink and alternative sexuality. We have John on the line. Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I'm calling because I'm living a special situation with... kind of different encounters that I wasn't expecting.
Okay.
I'm 64, but I look like I'm 49, 50.
Lucky you.
Yeah, it's one of the luck life gave me. But,
yeah. Good genes.
Yeah. Well, it's good, and in one way it's good, and in another way it's kind of, how can I say that? Well, I'll explain. I've been haven't had a date in Montreal for a very long time.
Okay.
And so I kind of went on a meeting site, and I put my picture and everything, and I started to receive not just a few but a lot of calls for women that were interested in all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized after a while that most of them were in Europe, because I thought the meeting site was here in Quebec, but it's in Europe. And most of the women that start being really serious, like I've been exchanging with them for at least 4 or 5 months, and most of them, they want to come here and they want to live with me. And
sure, it's their ticket out, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not. They don't live in a third world country.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You have to be very, very careful. Are they asking you for money?
Of course.
Well, that's there it is.
It's a red flag. That's
the red flag. The minute somebody asks you for money, you know that they're not really interested in you.
Yeah, well, I did kind of saw a flag somewhere, because most of them are really gorgeous women. I mean, they're the kind of girl you see in...
Sure, but those pictures may not be real, by the way.
Yeah,
just saying.
True.
Okay.
However, the thing is that most of them are around 39 years old, 40.
Mm-hmm.
And I did see them because we talk on, the Hangout site.
Right.
And I see them once in a while we talk, and I see it's really them on the picture. It's not somebody else.
Okay, but John, the minute they ask you for money, You already know right there that
it's not serious.
It's not serious. And too many people get hoodwinked this way. It's unreal.
You think?
Yes,
John,
I think.
John, I'd like to, this is Catherine here, and I'd like to give you a little advice, if you don't mind. You know what? If they're not local, stop wasting your time and talking to them. Find local, or at least Canadian, people to talk to. You know, you've spent 4 or 5 months, and really, what is going to come out of it? Where you could have been spending that time and actually developing a real relationship with somebody that's local.
Don't mistake your this long distance connection as real intimacy, because until you have somebody in your own city, you see them out, you know, you see them on a regular basis in the real world, you're just living a fantasy.
Again, the real and the
yeah, that's true, but there is something, and I'm telling you, I am from Europe, a European background, and I've been having a very hard time to date women in here. And most of the women, I am on different meeting sites, and most of the women that want to date me are like not really the type of woman I want to go out with. You know, they're like older, or they're not really my type. And so that's why I'm kind of glad to have found something in Europe. But like, you know, I understand what you're saying.
I really don't know where it will go. Like, yeah. You're investing time and money on what? On a fantasy at this point. And, you know, I have a hard time believing there's nobody here for you. Put your energy into finding people right here. Go to events. Get involved in things, in social things, not just online meeting, but just get involved in the community and meet other people, and, you know, look at also what you have to offer, and set your expectations realistically as well.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes, sure.
All right, good luck, and keep us posted. But please, don't send money. Whatever you do, do not send money.
Good luck to you.
Promise me you won't send money.
Oh, no, that's one thing. Okay, good.
Well, they're going to lose interest real fast, by the way, when you keep saying no.
Yeah.
That's my guess. Yeah, there you go. All right, John, thanks for your... Go.
Just one little more thing. Yeah. There's one thing you're talking once in a while, like on Sunday night, there's a kind of meeting with people. I never got to find out where it was, but, you know, it's like for people who want to meet and...
Talking about speed dating? Speed dating events? The only events we talk about here are speed dating events. Mm-hmm. And if you want to look that up, go to elitespeeddating.com.
Oh yeah.
Elitespeeddating.com, and then you will you'll sign up there, and they'll let you know when they have events, and you can go. I think that's a great option also to meet people. Good luck, John.
Thanks.
Keep us posted. Bye. Take care. Bye bye. Okay, we've got a couple questions here. Just because a masochist enjoys pain, that doesn't necessarily make it healthy, nor a sport. First of all, I don't think anybody's calling it a sport. First of all, and who's judging the healthy? Let's look at why it might not be healthy.
Because usually it's something that's been negotiated. Usually it's something that somebody has dreamed about. It's a fantasy, an erotic fantasy that they want to go through, or they have a need for this. I am surprised because a lot of people think it's not healthy. I can't tell you what's not healthy. I mean, some people going in sport and becoming so into their sport that when they lose, they want to punch everybody and stuff. That's not healthy. I don't know.
It definitely depends on the person. Certainly, there's lots of people that do any form of sex that are mentally unhealthy. And we certainly have our share in BDSM. But because you need to... you know, to do it properly, there has to be a lot of communication, negotiation. People tend to be a little bit more balanced, actually. Studies have shown this. It's not just me saying it. I'm sure Dr. Lori can back me up.
That's true.
So, you know, it depends on if they're in a healthy relationship, what's going on else in their life. But just because somebody's a masochist doesn't mean that they're mentally unstable or unhealthy. Now, if you're an extreme masochist where you're getting, you know, bodily injuries that are affecting you in other parts of your life, like, you know, you're taking a, I hate to use the word beating, but a spanking to the point where, you know, you can't, you know, it's uncomfortable to walk the next day and you need to go somewhere with your kids and walk all day. Well, then maybe there's a problem there because it's impacting your life. But normally, you know what? If you got a little twinge the next day, it's not a problem. It's still fine.
So this texter writes, how do you reconcile caring and tenderness toward a sub while simultaneously humiliating and inflicting pain upon him or her? But they're the ones asking
for it. It's consensual, first of all.
Yep.
Like that's the big thing, is it's consensual. And there are submissives that have asked me. I actually really like doing humiliation play. It's I get a real kick out of it.
Mm-hmm. But so that turns you on.
Yeah, I think it's fun. Mm-hmm. I get to be the mean girl, mm-hmm. right? And I'm usually a pretty nice person.
Right. It's very opposite, right? What gets you going is really quite the opposite of what you are in real life.
Exactly.
Right.
However, saying that, I have certainly, you know, you do humiliation only to a certain point with the person because it's only healthy to a certain point. And there are many times I have been asked, and I will not do humiliation play with most subs, the majority, because it's not mentally okay with them. I had...
How do you assess that?
Well, because you start by doing little things, mm-hmm. right? You know, there's one sub that you can say, you know, you're a fat pig, and
it won't
doesn't
matter.
Upset them. They're fine. And the next day they say fine. It's like, oh gosh, okay. I'm going to go to the gym twice this week instead of once, and mm-hmm. we'll laugh about it. There's someone else that's going to go down, going
to
go home.
It's hard to believe that somebody on the receiving end of those kinds of insults, humiliation, finds that appealing or finds that
that's
arousing.
Right. But there are lots of people who do.
It's moral pain. You have to consider it as another type of pain simply.
Mm-hmm. And it's a delicate play that, you know, being a fat pig is probably more extreme things. But, you know, it could be that I tease them about their new haircut or...
Well, you're mean. You know, you're being mean, right? But it's something that they are asking for.
Yes. Well, yes, and they realize too that I'm doing it within the
limits,
the limits in the scene, and we'll definitely talk about it after. It has to be worked out. You have to do aftercare with this,
right? Aftercare important. We can talk about that as well. And I've got some text to share. 514-800. We're talking all things alternative in terms of sexuality here tonight on Passion.
Stimulating Radio, Passion with Dr. Lori.
Alternative sexuality tonight. Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle are here to answer all of your questions and to have discussions and answer my questions. Last opportunity to share with us your favorite Passion episode, lesson, guest, moment with us for your chance to join us on Friday, August 18th as we celebrate our 18th year on the air at Station 16 Gallery, who will be hosting the event. There will also be a vernissage of my art, which it's called Dr. Lori Exposed.
I have an early petito.
One night sent you. Yes, I did one for you.
Fantastic.
I know.
She's but very
I've never
gifted.
Shown. I've never shown my art in public ever.
I'm surprised you haven't. You're so talented.
Thank you. I have not, because I consider myself. I don't see myself as an artist, but as somebody who dabbles in painting.
No, you're an artist.
But whatever. And so it's a little bit like anxiety provoking to show it.
Yeah,
but because usually I paint and I give it away. You know.
Well, I'm
kind
excited.
Give it away, so.
I'm excited to see that.
But you look way too young to have been 18 years on the radio.
Well, she was.
You want brownie points. You want brownie points. All right, here's a couple of texts I want to share with you. I know a man who is extreme. I never met him and in person because he said I wasn't naughty enough for him. I think he is sick because he wanted me to send him sexy pics of young girls, but they were never young enough. Ooh.
Okay. Ew. You know where we're going with that.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah, there's a... And again, illegal. And also, you recognize the red flags there,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
And that is a red flag when someone asks you to do something that you already know is goes beyond the boundaries.
Sending him pictures of other girls, and why are you sending him young ones? That's just creepy,
right? And what does that mean? I'm not naughty enough for you. Obviously, if you're going to, if you are a BDSM lifestyler, you need to find somebody who shares those interests rather than
and at the same level.
You know that's at the same level, exactly.
Okay, exactly. I have to tell you a story about not naughty enough. You know, I'm French Canadian, and there's a saying that, you know, English women are supposed to be cold and all of that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's supposedly. Okay.
Okay, that's what you grew up learning.
Yeah, that's okay. What I grew up learning. And then I met Catherine, which is supposed to be a cold English lady. And she's probably the best lover I ever had. I mean, she's not.
Probably?
All right, TMI, TMI. I don't care to know all this, okay?
Long way home now, okay.
Uh-huh. All right, okay, texter says he keeps texting in. So he writes, that's the most ridiculous justification I've heard. Just because someone wants to experience pain, that doesn't make it synonymous with health. Something healthy is holistic, balanced, not in a stressful state. Pain is a biological stress on the body. It's not natural, whether you like it, want it, or not. So what about runners?
Okay.
What about people who work out? I can tell you right now, I am in major pain after a workout. I could barely walk down the stairs without cringing.
You show me a ballet dancer that hasn't been in agony on that stage.
Right, exactly. So maybe your justification is ridiculous. I don't know. Like, you know
what?
Know,
to each their
let's,
own.
Let's listen to what people have to say. You know, and that's your belief, but we're hearing it from practitioners who know, and you may not be in that feel to you, just have your idea of what you think
it's a body sensation is how you interpret it too. I mean, we're not talking pain that someone is dying of cancer or they've got, you know, bone cancer that's racking through them. We're not saying that's erotic. But
certain things can be. I was talking to a girlfriend of mine who had a tattoo, and she said that she was turned on by the pain of that tattoo.
Many people who have tattoo like the pain from
piercings.
Yeah, uh-huh. Many that.
So it's a, you know, to each his own is right. Like at this point, it's how your particular body responds. Some people can't stand working out because they don't like that feeling of pain. But when you're lifting heavy weights, you're in pain every time you do a curl. It hurts. When runners run,
it hurts.
They hurt. You know, so are we, like, this is where, you know, I'm not sure, but I'm getting lost in here.
How about a worker working in construction and at the end of the day he's in pain because he have lift all of this, you know,
right,
material and
so
stuff like this?
So are all these things then considered not natural? Is it about what's natural?
Well,
you know,
in this society, there's not much thing that is natural anymore, you know, the way we're being brought up, the value we share.
You know what? The most natural thing for sex is just procreation. Right? You want to talk about just animals? They have sex to procreate. Well, we're beyond being just animals. We're thinking beings that we can make a choice and we eroticize things. And what's erotic to one person is not to another.
Exactly.
And as long as we have consenting adults, who cares? Who cares if that banana is just erotic to you? It's not for me. I see a banana, it's a banana.
Right.
But
well, I have rules. If you're not hurting anybody, and I mean hurting anybody without, you know, that means without their consent, obviously.
And knowledge what you're doing.
And it's if it's consensual and it's safe, and it's not illegal, then to each his own.
And
who am I to judge
bravo.
That person?
How this gentleman would or this person would explain that once you're finished, let's say giving pain to a submissive, that usually after the play or the scene, they have this amazing smile on their face. Isn't it supposed to be something bad?
Well, there's endorphins.
The endorphin. And usually when you give a good scene to a submissive and they're really, really, really happy, I mean, it's not supposed to be like this if you listen to somebody like this. You know?
Yeah. Or he goes on to say, running is utilizing muscles that haven't been stretched. Not necessarily. That's not the same as whipping or spanking butts. Enduring pain for a constructive purpose and undergoing it for the sake of it is not the same thing. But to each his own. Again, I don't see a purpose to running.
I tell you, I don't want to run.
No.
Well,
no.
We will not win that argument anyway. Mm-hmm.
No, and it's
a just... belief. Look, it's again, you know, it's a belief and it's okay. You can believe that. But this is often the belief that something is sick and twisted and all of that. And, you know, when we don't have the, I mean, one of the reasons I bring you in, of course, regularly is to get an idea and a sense of all of this. What do real people who practice feel, think, do, all of that? So because we have to combat a lot of this kind of thinking that we had the same thinking about homosexuality at one point, you know, that it's really sick, it's unnatural,
masturbation,
we thought this of masturbation too.
Good example.
We thought so throughout history many of the sexual practices were considered exactly how this person is thinking about it.
I know.
And
then we evolve.
Yeah, well, and then we evolve. Well, yes, to tolerance, and tolerance is a good one for this one. Each his own. You tolerate, and it's not, I'm not even sure the word is tolerance as much as let people be who they want to be as long as they're not hurting anyone.
That may be the reason why so many people, so many practitioners in BSM, they don't want to be public at all. They do this behind closed door.
Because of people the like kind, this kind of judgment.
Yep.
I agree with you. So got a text that says, Dr. Lee, I've been listening to Passion since I was 12. I'm now 25, and over the past 13 years, I've learned a great deal of valuable information. Passion serves as a way for me to learn about sex, love, and relationships. Some of my favorite segments include Dating Dilemmas, The Legal Topics, and Trouble Tuesdays.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you for that. So guys, I think the next time we'll see each other will be on Friday, August 18th at our event. And
can't wait to see your artwork.
Thank you. The artwork, for those of you who will not be there, the artwork will continue to be at the gallery straight through the weekend, and I think until that Tuesday. And we'll know by closer to the date if we have more room for people, so we'll let you know if you know, you can come in after 10 or not, but right now it's a private affair because there's only room for a certain amount of people.
It would be cool if you could sell all of your painting. And
yeah, well, they're not all for sale. But congratulations to Olivia, who is going to join us on August 18th.
Hey, Olivia.
Yes, Olivia and her friend can come. Thank you all for tuning in. Thanks for all of your messages. Thank you to Brian Calasar in Master Control. If you need to get in touch with me, drlaurie.com. If you want to get in touch about and find out more about BDSM, bdsmcircle.com. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dr. Laurie Betito. My last name is spelled Betito. We'll talk again tomorrow evening when we have our addiction specialist, and we'll talk all about sex addiction. Right now, you've got The Comedy Show with your very funny host, Joey Elias. Have a great rest of the evening, and remember to fill your life with passion.